Towards the top of Lam Tesman Aleph. That's six lines from the tops. Machm Shinagum Lichpol. Mishnah mentioned that there's an idea that the parts of the halal were repeated, and each makom had their own minhagim of how to do so, and whatever the minhag was, you follow your minhag. What does it mean they had the custom to repeat? So Tana Rebbe Kofa about Dvarim. Rebbe would repeat, and Rashi's over here, what are these Dvarim he's referring to? From Ana Hashem Hoshiana, Ana Hashem Atzlichana, and onwards, there's a lot of repetitions. Rebbe's custom was to repeat that. Again, that's something we have nowadays as well. Something that Rebbe was machmir to do. Rebbe Elazar ben Parta, Mosiv Badvarim. He added. What does it mean he added? My Mosiv, says the Gemara. Amar Baye, Mosiv Lichpol Me'odacha Ulmata. That he added to repeat even more things. He added to double, to repeat. From Odacha Ki Anisani, even before Ana Hashem Hoshiana. And once again, that is our custom that we have nowadays. So, when the Mishnah was describing certain things we have in the Gemara, and Daf Lama Chesma Beis went through many customs that we have nowadays to try to keep some of the dinim of the Mishnah still in place, or to remember them even after the time when the practice of one person doing it for everybody else, the halal, was no longer in play. So we kept certain halachas to try to remind ourselves and remember the reasons behind those things. Many of those we no longer do anymore, but these last few we certainly do. We do repeat from Odcha, we do repeat on Hashem Hashina and onwards. So those things would certainly be still practiced today. Okay, Makom Shenagel Levarach, Yivarach says the Mishnah. So over here the Gemara is going to discuss, what does it mean a Makom Shenagel Levarach, a place where the custom was to make a bracha? Amar Baya Lo Shanu Ela La'achrov. Well, the fun of Mitzvah Levarach. When we say over here is a Makom Shenagel Levarach, a place where the custom was to make a bracha, that was talking about Dafka the bracha after Halal, Melech Mulav Tish Bachot. But before Halal, there's a mitzvah to make a bracha, because Halal itself is a mitzvah. And the din is you're supposed to make a bracha before you do a bracha. The mitzvah is that. Damar of you, Damar Shmuel, called mitzvahs kulan, v'varech alein over las yasin. Every mitzvah should give a blessing for before you do the actual mitzvah. The general din of making a bracha over las yasin. There's a few exceptions to this rule. One major exception to this rule is the exception of going to the mikvah. We know that it comes to a ger. A ger cannot make a bracha when he goes to the mikveh until he's finished going to the mikveh. That's a part of the process of the gerus. Since he can't say the words of Shekhi Shalom Mitzvah Tzivan, there's no tzivoy before he's a ger. He has to do it after the mikveh. There's a whole discussion. Does that carry through to other type of mikvehs? A woman goes to the mikveh nowadays. Does she make a bracha before or afterwards? There's a whole big discussion on this as well. There's a custom that some have, based on the Trumas Adeshin, that the woman should go to the mikveh, dip one time, but have in mind that first dip. But if she's supposed to make a bracha only after the first dip, like they do in by Geras, then this dip shouldn't count. But if she's supposed to make a bracha before the mitzvah, like most mitzvahs that we have, almost all brachas of mitzvahs that we have, she should have in mind this first dip shouldn't count. Does that work to have in mind that the mitzvah you're doing right now shouldn't count as a mitzvah? There's a whole big discussion as well among the commentaries. When it comes to the Tilsa Dayim of our hands, this is also Tosas Brachos brings us down. This is also potentially for the same reason we wash our hands first, which is why we can bracha afterwards. Some suggest the reason why we make a bracha afterwards because our hands are not clean yet. So why we're watching them is to make the bracha. We try our hardest still to be over lasyas and to still make it before we finish the action, because part of the washing your hands is the drying of the hands. So we make the bracha before we dry so that we still have this element of over lasyas for the drying of the hands. Okay. The one wants to know over here, my mashma, the high over lishon of the akadumehu. Where do we know? From where do we see the lashon of over? Over lasyasan means beforehand. Usually over does not necessarily always mean lifnei. So where do we see this the idea that it means lifnei? We quote a few psukim to prove this point. The Amr of Nachum bar Yitzchak, the Dixiv Yaratz, Achimat, Derech HaKikar, Yavor Zakushi. That Achimat ran the way of the Kikar, and he, Yavor Zakushi, which means over here, he passed, he went in front of the Kushi. So Yavor, over, means to go in front of. Over lasiyasim means before you do the mitzvah. Abai Amr Mehach, Abai quotes a pasuk, not in the Navi, but rather from Bereishis. Vu over lifnehem, referring to when Yaakov went in front of his family to bow in front of Esav and protect them. So vu over lifnehem, he went in front of them. And you might say, Matzem Se Mehach, here maybe is the best proof, even though it's not from the Torah, it's from Navi, it's from Micha, but you have Vayavor Melachim lifnehem, Vashem Barosham. It says Vayavor, Malkam lifnehem. So clearly here, over means beforehand. In every other case, vayavor didn't say the word lifnehem, but we understood from the context. But here, vayavor lifnehem, over means lifnei, you pass in front of. So clearly over here, we've seen that over lasiyasa means to go in front of. Mishnah continues, Avlam Tesman Aleph, Alokeach, Lulav Mecha, Vero, Beshvius, Nosin, Lulav Esther, Matan, Lokesh, Ein, Rashai, Loko, Beshvius. Person who purchases a lulav from his friend Again, according to Rashi, it shouldn't say his friend because really it's probably not a chaver. Every person who doesn't say he's a chaver was an intelligent person, a very halachically sensitive person, and he's buying it from an amaretz over here. We're assuming, otherwise, there'll be no spheres of us. We'll see. The Gemara will describe what our concerns are of giving money to someone who's selling fruit during the Shviyas year, Shmita year. So over here, Rashi is not really chaveru, but it's really an amaretz. But if you a person who buys a lulav from an amaretz during the year of Shemitah, of Shviyas, so that amaretz should be, the person who's selling it should give the esrog as a gift, because one is not permitted to use Perish Shviyas for buying and selling for merchandise. You can't make profit, you shouldn't be making business out of it. Okay. What happens if the seller is not interested in your request of giving it to you for free? The seller is not so matzvin, and he would like to actually sell it and make money off the deal. What's the halacha there? What do you do? I'm Rav Huna, Mavliyale Dmei Esrog B'Lulav. Mavliyale, Havla means to swallow up, which means that you buy Lulav. Lulav, say it costs $50. The Esrog costs, let's say, $100. Say to the guy, listen, I'm going to buy the Lulav for you for $150, and please gift the Esrog over to me. So the money you have and the kinyan with the money is for the lulav itself, not for the esrog. More later on, we'll discuss and describe why, in fact, is lulav mutter to buy during Shemitah. We'll get to that later on in the Gemara. Not today, but tomorrow maybe. But over here, the Gemara is suggesting to avoid paying money for an esrog and making a business with perish shviyos like that. So do havla, make the money of the lulav a little more, and with that money, lulav, it's like a buy lulav and get an esrog for free. Says the Gemara further. Which means, why don't you give it to him outright? Give it to him explicitly. Give it to him openly. I mean, why is there this din? I mean, it means give the money to him for the esrog. For the esrog. Don't give it to the lulav and add money in because of the esrog. Give him for the esrog. Just give it to him outright. I mean, why are we playing all these games? Why is there a problem in buying Perish Shviyas on during the Shemitah year? Moshe, one is not permitted to give over money for Perish Shviyas to an Amaretz. So Rashi here points out, the Torah tells us, you're allowed to eat it, the Perish Shviyas. You're not allowed to not do business, a little schora, you're not allowed to do business with it. And the reason why is this a big deal? Because when a person has Perish Shviyas, the rule is he has to consume them or destroy them by a certain period of time. It's called Zman Biur. When the fruit's no longer in the fields, the season is over, you shouldn't be having any extra fruits in your home. You're not allowed to have them extra. And therefore, we're afraid you shouldn't make a business, because if you make a business with them, you'll store them in your house well beyond the time when they're in the fields. And that's us to do. And we're afraid if we allow you to make business, you're going to have extra ones waiting behind you. That's a concern. What we do therefore is we say you shouldn't buy them from someone even. What's the problem of buying it? The problem of buying it is Rashi's lifnei iver. If you buy and he sees he can make good money at selling these fruits, then he gives me a reason to store them, to stockpile them more. And we don't want to stockpile them, because it'll be us for him to have them after Zman Biur. So we don't let you buy them, so he doesn't stockpile them in his own home. The Gemara now quote at the time of the Nebraska, Ein motion to make Perish Shviyas la'ama arts yoser mi mazon shalosh shudos. You cannot give him more than, you can't buy Perish Shviyas from la'ama arts an amount of money that will be more than it will cost him to buy three meals of food with that money. Now, why is that okay? So over here, the Rashi points out, let's say he's an ani, and you're buying a Perish Shviyas from him, and he's got no money, and he's got to have a little amount of money in order to provide for his own well-being. Again, there's no real issur in buying fruit. The issur is storing it in your house for extra period of time. So we say, you know what? Don't buy, but you're allowed to buy things off the ani. That's a little bit at a time. He's not going to store things if you can't buy big purchases. What's a little bit? Consider three meals. Why three meals? Rashi here points out three meals because, let's say it was an Erev Shabbos, and he has to make a living and he has to provide for his family, and for Shabbos he needs to have three meals. So therefore, for Erev Shabbos, we allow a person to buy three meals worth of a produce of Perish Shviyas. And since we allow it for Erev Shabbos, we're also going to allow it for, we're not going to make a din, okay, only Erev Shabbos can you buy that amount. We basically give a heter for three meals worth of purchases to be made, and therefore you're allowed to make those three meals even any day of the week if you wanted to. Now, just as an important aside, or maybe it's not even an aside, it's an important statement, the way it works when you buy Perish Shviyas is that the money also has Kedusha attached to it. It becomes like the status of it is like the pear trees themselves, which means that you can't keep them after Zman Bir. So when you have, let's say you give the guy 3 meals worth of money, and you buy pear trees with that money that you gave him now has Kedusha Shvius, where he has to use it to buy something and to finish it off before Zman Bir. So again, it's also something you have to be very, very careful with. That's why you don't give a large amount of money. We let the person have at any one given period of time. Says the Gemara of Im Masar. What if I gave more than 3 meals? Rashi's over here. I forgot. I didn't remember the rule or some mistake I made, and I gave him 8 meals worth of Peros Shvius money for Peros Shvius. And now he has in his property this amount. So forget about the fact that now I've encouraged him to do an Isra. That was an accident. So let's say Ivra may not apply. But how about the fact that he has now 8 meals worth, and now we're afraid that that money is going to be put aside and it's not going to be spent and consumed before the Zman Bir is finished, and therefore there's a big problem we have in our hands. What do we do? Says the Gemara, if you muster, if you hand him over more, you forgot. So Yomar, you should say the following thing. Basically, that the kedusha of these 8 meals worth that I just sold him money with, and that therefore I have kedusha fees attached to them, I want that kedusha to be chal, to fall upon, I want to redeem it on the peris that I have in my home. According to Rashi, it can't be peris you have in your home that have kedusha shvius, obviously, because those already have kedusha. You have to have new peris that don't have kedusha, and now make them be poda, the money that you're giving this person right now, is amaret, and make the kedusha chal, make it fall back upon the peris you have in your home that are not kadosh yet. You have to make them kadosh, you have to treat them with kedusha, as the Gemara says now on the top of Lamed Hesem Beis, ubava ochlam kedusha shvius. You need to go now, you need to eat them with Kedusha Shvius. What that means is, when Rashi explains, that there are certain things you can and cannot do with Shemitah foods, with Kedusha foods, regarding how you use them with respect and the best way they're supposed to be served. You treat them with Kedusha in those ways, regarding consuming it before a certain date. So now the 8 meals that you gave over, you took that 8 meals worth of money that you handed over to the person, you made a mistake there, and now you say that Kedusha there should be transferred off of the money. So this Amaret is not over the Isra of, well, I'm not over the Isra, listen, either he's not over the Isra of using the Kedusha Shvius money inappropriately and after the Zman Bir. And instead, I will put it on food in my home that is not yet Kadosh, and make it Kadosh, and treat that food properly. And with that, I can protect him if I made that mistake I just described. So this is the Gemara B'nei Murim. When do we say these words? Says Rashi, when do we say these words, B'nei Murim, when do we say these words that a person is allowed to buy up to 3 meals worth of food from the Amaret? Davka belokeach mina mufkar. If you see the Amaretz, when you buy the food, he goes into his backyard, which is open to anyone to go there if they wanted to. He goes and picks it for you. You're really buying, you know, you're buying his labor and his commitment to the cause. That's what you're really buying. So for that, we let you up to 3 meals. We let you purchase it. However, says the Gemara. However, the Gemara says about belokeach mina mishumar. But if you see him going to his backyard and opening up some gate there, which he locked up, Meshumar means closed up or locked up or protected, and he's now taking food out of the area that he was protected, which itself is usher to do, because the din is you're supposed to make your pay Shvius hefker. Again, you don't have to let, you know, your someone's private property. Doesn't mean they can just walk in wherever they want necessarily, but you can, and you should put a sign up and say, here's my tree, it's available to anyone who wants to take. You should be well opening to your property as well, but you certainly can't lock it up. That would be prohibited to be Meshumar. If you see him taking now from a Meshumar place that was Peres Shvius, then, says the Gemara, then we have a reason of concern, and therefore, afilu b'chatzi iser asr, even if it was a kichatzi iser, it was the amount even of a half an iser, which is a very small amount, it would be asr, would be prohibited for you to even give him any money whatsoever. Again, the whole purpose of not giving him money is we're afraid if you give him money, he's going to end up storing it, and therefore he's going to be over the iser of Kedusha Shvius violating it. And you're listening to Iver, you contribute to that. So if you see he's already doing things wrong in the process of Peres Shvius, meaning he is guarding it, protecting it with something that's usher to do, then you would not be allowed to engage in any sort of money transaction with him, even less than 3 meals worth. The Gemara then asks, Mesa Rav Shesh, we should ask the following question. Is it true that if it's a Mufkar, let's say you went to a place, again we mentioned, where it's open, the place is a place that's Hefker, you see the guy go to the back of his field and pull out things that are not protected or guarded. Is it only 3 sudos you can use and no more than 3 sudos? We're going to see them point out a brisa that suggests otherwise. It says in the, Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah, Shvius, Pigam, Vayirbuzin, Vashitim, Vachal Agloglos, Vakuzbar Shabaharim, Vakarpa Shabinaros, Vagargil Shalafar. Those are the lists. What do these things mean? So look this up. So Apigam is Ru, it's called. Vayirbuzin is Sorel. Vashitim, Asparagus. Vachal Aglogos is Purslane. These are all looked up, by the way. I don't know these words, what they even, these vegetables even mean. Vakuzbar Shabaharim, which is the mountainous coriander, the Karba Sheben Naros, which is a watercress or cress that grows by the river, the Gargir Shel Afar, I never heard this one even, but it's called meadow rocket. So just before we go on, all these things that we mentioned just now, all these types of vegetables and fruits, are all things that normally are not protected by anybody. Meaning they're in a natural state of hefker. No one ever, you know, even things that people have in their property, they're not makpid to guard and protect it. So these things are constantly in a state of hefker. Because they're constantly in a state of hefker, says the Gemara, they're pturim min ha-meiser. I mean, no matter what, forget about Shemitah. And every year, you don't take meiser off it. The reason why Rashi explains over here, it says in the Pasuk, it says, Uba Levi, this is referring to getting trumas and meisers. The Levi is allowed to come. Ki ein lo chelek b'nachal ha-imach. He has no chelek, has no portion and inheritance with you. I mean, these are things that are off limits. You should share the wealth with him. Something that's hefker, that's not yours. It's everyone's. Therefore, the din of trumas and meisers don't apply to something that's hefker. It's not a problem of issue of meiser at all, because the Levi has a portion of things that are hefker. It's nobody, so therefore it's everybody's. And therefore, things that are hefker, like these items we just listed, these seven items we just listed, are things that no one really cares ever to guard and protect. They're a constant state of hefker. And therefore, there's no din of meiser. But here's the part we care about most. V'nikachem mikol adam b'shvius. And you're allowed to take from anybody these items. I mean, you're allowed to buy from these items. You can purchase these items from anybody during the year of Shvius. I mean, even Amaret you can buy. Because there is nothing like it that is ever protected. Meaning, no form of this is ever protected, is ever guarded. And once again, because it's never guarded, it's a state of constant hefker. Therefore, it doesn't have the rules that we think the rules of Shvius attached to it. Now, Rashi over here, v'nikachin implies you can get it from them, you can buy it from them, and there's no limitation attached to it. And therefore, why do we say that something that's from hefker is only three sudos and no more than that? When we've just demonstrated and explained that something that's brought from hefker, is clear it's from hefker. There's no place where it ever would be not from hefker. You can buy to your heart's content. Why do we say only 3 meals worth? Sounds like over here you could even buy more than 3 meals worth. So who mostly love who mefarikla? So this question was asked by Rosh Hashas, Mosifla, like Mesve, Mefarikla, and he also answers it. He solves the riddle as well. Bichdeman, which means, again, Bichdeman Shanu, the amount of sustenance is what it was referring to. You can take from him the amount of mizonos, of required sustenance, which Rashi says over here means 3 meals. We'll get to that very soon, that idea. So what it says over here, Benikachin, you can take from him, well, at first glance, we thought it meant you can take as much as you would like to. Now we're saying, not so fast. You can take up to an amount that is sustenance, which is 3 meals worth, and no more than that. Only the amount that would be according to sustenance. So the Gemara wants to know, my mash with the high man lashna de mizono. Where do we see this word man is referring to sustenance, or min or man? How do we know it's referring to sustenance? Where is that found at all? Maybe you'll tell me it's the man and the midbar. That's not what the Gemara says, though. The Gemara says, vayiman lahem ha-melech. The melech. But in Daniel, the melech provided for them, and the melech sustained them. So we see again, it doesn't mean stam food, like manna was food. It means sustain and sustenance, which we said before was 3 meals worth. That's how we find this idea that b'chdei man, in order to sustain them, which would be 3 meals worth, is what this means. And therefore, we see even in the Mishnah we quoted earlier, where it sounds like v'nikachin, you can take whatever much you would like to take from these type of food items. The Gemara qualifies that, what that Mishnah meant. It says only you can take the amount of 3 meals worth. Again, we mentioned before the reason why it's limited, because otherwise you might encourage people to start stockpiling things and selling them later on. And the stockpiling was prohibited, because once the amount of beer is up, once the time of the field no longer has these foods inside of them, you can't have any more in your house either. And if you stockpile them, we know that would be a problem, because then you would have them in the house. And if we let you sell them and sell a large amount of them, then you would start to stockpile them. So if you buy perishvius in large amounts, you're being over the Israel lifting the Iver, but people encouraging people to start stockpiling. That's the Gemara here. We'll stop and continue tomorrow.